Scripture reading is, of course, coming right out of that prayer that we just prayed, the Lord's Prayer in the Sermon on the Mount. It is the fourth petition, Matthew chapter 6, verse 11. It's the shortest of the petitions in the Lord's Prayer. Matthew 6, 11. Give us this day our daily bread. Thus far, God's word. Let's pray. Lord, as we come to this prayer that you have taught us and this template in how we are to pray, we might understand each petition as we are praying it, that we're not praying a formula, but we are praying with this understanding of heaven and earth and your will be done, your kingdom come. And as we come even to this petition, give us this day our daily bread. I pray that we would understand it, apply it, and live it, that we'd be a people of prayer as you are calling us to in this sermon. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. I have a pretty simple daily routine. It's almost mechanical in some ways, I have to admit. I'm a kind of a boring person when it comes to my morning rituals. I get up early. First thing I usually do is I feed Luca, because Luca's ready to be fed. She's ready to go, our dog. After I take care of her, maybe do a few things in the kitchen, I make myself breakfast, I'll brew some coffee, and I'll sit down and I'll watch the news. Typically, I watch one of two news programs. I will watch either the evening news and out of Singapore on Channel News Asia, so it's evening there, morning here, hearing about what's happening in events across the world, in particular Asia, or I'll watch France 24 News, afternoon there, morning here again. Hearing about sort of events across Europe and whatnot. And I enjoy watching both of those programs. About a week or two ago, there was a program on Channel News Asia. They were doing a story about a South Korean company. And this company was developing an app for dogs. The way this app works is really quite simple. You download it onto your phone, obviously for some kind of fee. And when your dog is barking, this app is supposed to tell you what your dog is saying. I have no idea how legit this is or accurate or whatnot, but they claim they studied over 60 species of dogs, thousands of different barks, and they feel that they can tell you this is what your dog is saying. So your dog starts barking, you get out your smartphone, and you look at your smartphone, and it will tell you what your dog is saying. Now, I nearly spit out my coffee while watching this in laughter when this young woman who was holding her dog, little toy dog, he looked quite unhappy, and that'll be evident in a moment why. She's beginning to explain how she's just so happy about this app. She's so thrilled. She said, because, you know, she was telling the reporter, when I work all day and my dog's home alone, and every time I come home, he's barking away. And I think maybe he's sad, maybe he's anxious, maybe he's scared. But it turns out, I turned on my app, he's just angry. He's just mad. And she just said it with such joy because she's so thrilled to know. But yet I'm thinking, yeah, your dog is angry all day. And when you come home, he's angry when you're home. Dogs and people actually are very similar in some ways. Whatever our environment, whatever our circumstances, whatever our day has been, we have different emotions and different feelings. Some days we feel tired, overwhelmed. Some days we're happy, we're sad. Optimistic, worried, anxious, excited, nervous, hopeful. Every day is different. It depends on what happens. Some days are better than others. Some days are just okay days, and some are very, very bad days. I'm sure it's fun to think of those special days in your life, those days that filled your day full of joy and excitement. Other days are days you'd like to forget. And then there's days that maybe are even kind of like today, uneventful. They come and they go. Winter seems to bring that. We even have a term from it, doldrums, winter doldrums, where each day goes by uneventfully, maybe overcast, a little bit cloudy, and maybe we just might wish the day would just end and be over. But often when we are in these winter doldrums, it's sort of we just try to live one day at a time, day by day, try to get through each week, this winter season. Particularly in wintertime, it seems true. It's difficult. Summer seems to fly by, but winter, it drags on. Today's petition is about our daily lives. and what our mindset is to be. And it's about addressing our hearts and souls on a daily basis. What is our perspective and how are we to pray about our very basic needs, our daily, day-to-day life? How does God want me to live this day? And what does it mean to pray this petition, to ask the Lord for my bread every day? Is that really what he's saying? Is this what he's asking us to pray about? Short answer, yes. Now, it seems odd because in the first three petitions that we've been looking at in the Lord's Prayer, it has been on a grand scale. May the Lord's name be honored. May his kingdom come. May his will be done. Certainly, we're thinking things from a heavenly perspective, from a very big perspective. But then we get to this fourth petition, and it's give us this day our daily bread. Early church fathers were very perplexed by this. Tertullian, Cyprian, even Augustine really didn't understand this fourth petition. It just didn't really make sense given all the first three petitions we just prayed about praying about the advancement of his kingdom, that his will be done, and then give us this day our daily bread? So mundane, so unimportant. So early church fathers began to theorize that this fourth petition was actually an allegory. It actually represented something spiritual, something of great significance. Of course, the most obvious choice in the early church fathers was that it was talking about the Lord's Supper here. He's talking about that we should partake of the Lord's Supper on a daily basis. And so in some traditions, this is where daily mass comes from. Others suggested that this bread is a symbol of the word of God. Certainly that was referred to as the bread of life, that God is saying that we should give us our daily bread, the word of the Lord to us on a regular basis. It just didn't make sense to those early church fathers that we'd be asking for something so trivial as bread. Thankfully, the reformers came along. And in the 16th century, they looked at this, writing commentaries and reflecting on this, the Lord's Prayer. They took the position that this was not an allegory. This was not something bread did not represent something spiritual. John Calvin actually says in his commentary about the church fathers spiritualizing the fourth petition, and I quote, "They are exceedingly absurd." It was Martin Luther who was the first of the reformers who said that the bread, and I'll quote, is everything necessary for the preservation of life. It does represent something, but it actually represents our lives. He went on further to write, it is representing our food, our shelter, our clothing, basic provisions, home and health. It is everything we need on our daily life to live. John Stott puts it this way in his commentary. Jesus is telling us in this petition that Jesus means the necessities rather than the luxuries of life. We are to come to our Lord daily for our day-to-day dependence for the necessities of life, reminding ourselves that we live our lives under his sustaining power, under his provisions. This petition is hardly the only place, though, in Scripture that tells us that that's exactly how we are to live, that we are to live under this understanding that God will provide for our daily needs. In fact, we even have an example in Scripture of where God does exactly that with his people. If you remember our time in the book of Exodus, when we were studying Exodus, God quite intentionally was concerned for the daily needs of his people. Exodus 16, this is after they had left Egypt. They were in the wilderness. And it says this about God's people. They set out from Elim, and all the congregation of the people of Israel came to the wilderness of Sin, which is between Elim and Sinai. And on that 15th day of the second month, after they had departed from the land of Egypt, the whole congregation of the people of Israel grumbled against Moses and Aaron in the wilderness. And the people of Israel said to them, "Would that we had died by the hand of the Lord in the land of Egypt, when we sat by the meat pots and ate bread to the full. For you have brought us out into the wilderness to kill this whole assembly with hunger." Then the Lord said to Moses, "Behold, I'm about to rain bread from heaven for you. And the people shall go out and gather a day's portion every day. And I may test them whether they will walk in my law or not. On the sixth day, When they prepare what they bring, they will bring twice in as much as they gather daily for the provision of the Sabbath. Later on in verse 13 and 14, so in the evening, quail came up and covered the camp. And in the morning, dew lay around the camp. And when the dew had gone up, there was on the face of the wilderness a fine flake-like thing, fine as the frost on the ground. And it's, of course, talking about manna. Here we see a clear example of the Lord concerned about his people and literally providing daily provisions of manna, of quail. God was completely concerned about their trivial needs, about their basics, about providing for his people. Furthermore, we will read in the Sermon on the Mount, and we'll get to this, this petition that is made here in the Lord's Prayer is reinforced later by Christ in chapter 7 of Matthew. Jesus says that we are to come to him about everything. Matthew 7:7 and following. Ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives. The one who seeks finds. And to the one who knocks, it will be open. Or which one of you, if his son asks him for bread, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will give him a serpent? If you then, who are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father who is in heaven give good things to those who ask him? Now, by the way, I don't think it's any coincidence that Christ uses there, in that example, bread. He uses bread again, a common staple. It can't be a coincidence. He's teaching that we are to come to him for everything, our most basic common needs, our daily bread. Now, consider this implication. This isn't so much, consider this in reflection to the first three petitions. The early church fathers didn't see the connection, but I think you might be able to see this connection. In these first three petitions, we are praying for God, who is sovereign over all, to have his will be done, that his kingdom would come, his name would be honored. If we are reflecting upon God, who is sovereign over all these things, then coming to him for daily provisions, that might make some sense. It actually kind of flows in many ways. Jesus touches upon and further then, it would might foster in the life of a believer. If we pray those first three petitions, and then this fourth one, it will help with the issues that will later be addressed in the Sermon on the Mount about being anxious. John Smed makes this observation in his writing on Prayer Revolution. It suggests here that in the life of the believer, it can allow us to have a heart of contentment because we know God is sovereign and he provides for our daily needs. And so it allows us to be generous. Now, I'm going to develop that later on in later sermons because I think there's other portions of the Sermon on the Mount that address this issue of generosity. But what I want to put together here is these first three petitions about talking about God being God expanding in control over all, and then this assurance that he is involved in our daily needs. It should encourage us in our generosity. But let's just stop there and talk just briefly about how this teaches us to pray. Two things I want to say as far as in what it teaches us in prayer. It first tells us that how we should pray and what we should pray for, and the answer is everything. When someone comes to faith in Jesus Christ, it's important. I think one of the most important things that we should teach, if you ever have that opportunity to do so, is to teach a person how to pray. Prayer is a funny thing. We all have preconceptions of what prayer is and what we should pray about. It's one of the things I see the most often as a minister. When I meet and talk to church members, I can tell different church members have different opinions about what is and should be prayed about. Everyone has an opinion about it, whether they're aware of it or not. Let me ask you, what is it that you pray about on a regular basis? What are some of the subjects? What are some of the things that you think about, meditate upon? If you put it down on a sheet of paper, if you wrote it down, the various prayers and petitions, what themes are coming up? What are things that you are concerned about? And how often are you praying on daily things on a consistent basis? When I was a youth pastor in my first church, I had a large group of junior hires. Loved them, tons of energy, it was great. But we had this silly problem with my junior high ministry, and that was when it came to praying, Our time in prayer sounded like we were praying for the needs of a veterinarian clinic. Let me explain. It felt like that we were always praying for someone's fish, cat, dog, turtle, rabbit, whatever. I mean, I remember sometimes feeling like I remember it made me crazy because I felt like, my goodness, that's all we're doing. We're always just praying for animals as a youth ministry. I wanted us to pray about way more important things, like people coming to faith in Jesus Christ, world missions, God giving us eyes to see, big lofty prayers, not praying for someone's fish, someone's turtle, someone's cat. It just bothered me. It kind of bothered me at that time. But you know what? I've been reflecting on this petition, and I think I was wrong in being bothered, and I'll tell you why. Our daily bread, this petition, our daily bread, is about as mundane and simple as any prayer can get. It's just simply not complicated. Can you think of something smaller or less important than just simply praying for your daily bread? In the grand schemes of life, of all things to be praying for, daily bread is as basic as it gets. Praying for bread, if that's what we are being told here, it means that we should lower our standards for what we think we should pray for. It means that we should think small, think of even the unimportant things, and pray for it. Jesus is telling us to pray. Pray for these things. We're not to use our minds, well, I'll pray for this, but I won't pray for that. Maybe we need to use less discernment and spend more time just simply praying about it. So the thoughts that come into our mind, if we have these thoughts, no, I don't need to pray about this, or God doesn't care about these kinds of things, maybe we should be a little bit more careful about saying that. If he wants us to pray for our daily bread, he wants us to pray for everything. Now, to be clear, let me clarify this. Today's Super Bowl Sunday, right? Some folks want one team to win. Other folks want another team to win. Some of you honestly don't care. And some of you are just learning that it's now Super Bowl Sunday. Today's Super Bowl Sunday, I had no idea. And you might have that question. Jason, you just said we should pray for everything. Is it all right for me to pray for one team to win? I don't really think that's really a prayer that God's concerned about. Now, wait a minute. You just said pray for everything. So let me provide this one clarification. We are to pray for everything that is a necessity under heaven and earth. In other words, we're to pray our daily bread. This petition about praying for everything is about praying about our needs, our necessities, what we need. We don't need one team to win the Super Bowl. That's not a necessity. A prayer like this and praying about everything is a daily prayer of necessity. We're praying for everything that is necessary, that's important. So what about the fish, the turtle, the dog, the cats, those things? Well, to those junior hires, those weren't luxuries. They weren't even silly requests. I do remember genuine concern that they had for something that was important, that was a part of their lives, something that was God's creation, that they loved and felt was important. And as their youth pastor, I should have seen that or understood that in their hearts and minds and not see it as so trivial. Yes, sometimes we can be silly about such things, but I think more than anything, what this Lord's Prayer and this petition is telling us, we must be a people of prayer. Teaching us we should pray about everything, not picking and choosing and deciding, but we should be charitable when it comes to prayer for our daily needs. We should pray about everything, and every time we have an opportunity, the smallest things, pray our daily bread is that simple prayer about the necessities of life. The second thing, and I can say this much shorter, is to pray about something that I just want to make sure we're all clear on when it comes to prayer and our efforts. This petition is not a call that we need to stop providing for our basic needs. You would be surprised how many folks over time have come to this conclusion that this petition is a petition to say that we don't need to worry about planting crops, we don't need to work, the Lord will provide my daily bread. In fact, this was a problem in the early church in Corinth. Folks stopped working, didn't see it was important. Jesus is not suggesting in this petition that farmers stop planting, that you don't need to go to the grocery store, that working is wrong to provide for your family. It's nonsense. This petition is trying to address, I think, sometimes two extremes that are often found amongst those who are followers of Christ. On the one hand, those folks, like those folks in Corinth, who feel like the day-to-day doldrums of working, taking care of basic necessities of life is not something a spiritual person should do. We must focus on spiritual things and not concern ourselves with daily bread. This, I think, was one of the problems of the blind spots of the early church fathers. They wanted to spiritualize this. The mindset is then, and leads to, that those who farm or work with their hands and get themselves dirty and work long hours, they're not trusting that God will provide. They should focus on spiritual things, not the mundane. The other extreme is also a problem, is that they just don't pray about that daily bread. Everything that they have, everything that has been provided, is really of their own doing. They are the sole provider of their families. They made it happen. Everything that is in front of them is something that they did because of their hard work. God may get a footnote to those accomplishments and maybe a short prayer before they eat their meal and say grace. That is a problem as well. But Jesus is teaching us in this petition that we are to walk and to live each day with the awareness and thankfulness that our God is our sustainer, our provider, who is sovereign over all matters, including the basic necessities of life, our daily bread. So we work hard. We plant our crops. We do so and we pray, asking for God to provide our daily bread. He is the sustainer. It is one of those things that I don't know that we meditate enough on. Psalm 55 tells us, cast your burdens on the Lord and he will sustain you. Isaiah 41, fear not, for I am with you. Be not dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. I will help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. Colossians 1, he is before all things, and in him all things hold together. We might benefit on meditating on this, that God is our sustainer, that we are to work with that assurance of God's sustaining power. They're not in conflict with one another, not in some kind of tension. God provides our daily bread, and we work with that assurance. And as I close, I'll illustrate it this way, very simply. When I was in ministry in the Midwest, there was an elder at our church in Northwest Ohio who was a farmer. A farmer all his life, Arden householder. Older fella, elder in the church. He was a farmer. I mean, he passed away in his 80s. He was a farmer from probably when he was knee-high to a grasshopper until, of course, the day he died. He was a farmer through and through. And he and I got along very well at the church because, and I'm sure you've heard this from me before, I grew up on a farm. I grew up in a farming community. I got around it. And we both attended a church that was more suburban, had a mixture of different people. But Art and I got along together, and sometimes I go out to the farm and visit, and it kind of felt like home, just spending time with him. And Arden used to always say to me, farmers are the worst gamblers, Pastor Jason. And I'd say, why? He said, because every spring, we take all of our money and every resource we have and we put it into the ground. Everything that we have in hopes that in a few months, something will come out of that ground that will actually even gain a profit. And I remember him saying this on several occasions. And finally, I said to Arden, I said, how do you do that? I mean, as a farmer, how do you do that? Every spring, you're taking everything that you have and you are putting it into the ground in hopes that in a few months, it might produce a harvest. I mean, how do you do that? And I'll never forget his answer. He cited this petition. He said, Jason, I live in the reality. Lord, give us our daily bread. He trusts that the Lord is aware of his basic needs. And whatever is to come, the Lord is in it. Some are going to be good years. Some are bad years. Markets rise. Prices fall. Weather comes. Droughts. But God is in control, and his assurance is not in his efforts, but in God's daily provision. And he said, Jason, after all these years of farming, I can tell you the Lord has met my every need, my day-to-day provisions. He was a farmer. He worked hard, like most farmers do. He tended his crops and maintained his farm, but did so under this trusting of God's sustaining power. I hope that we might learn from this old, wise elder and farmer of the church. We work, We toil, but we do so in the knowledge and mindset that the Lord will give us our daily bread. Let's pray. Lord, I thank you for this fourth petition that is teaching your church to pray for the most basic necessities of life. You're telling us nothing is off the table here. If there is a need, if there is a concern, bring it to you. Lord, teach us to do that more than we do. Help us to have that right mindset that it isn't of our own efforts that everything we have that we have, but it is by your provision. But help us also to work and to continue to do so in trusting that you are providing for our daily needs. Lord, make us a people of prayer and help us, Lord, just to live a life of being praying for those things around us as we have opportunity, and to teach it to our children and teach it to our neighbors and our friends and our family to demonstrate that we are a praying people. You call us to be a praying people. You say, pray for your daily bread. The most simple prayer that we can pray. Lord, I pray that you teach us that we would be more and more that person, a person that would see that you provide for everything that we have. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.